Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we will talk sports and other things. How are we today? Two thumbs up from Cameron. Wow, must be having a great day. Cody.
Oh, doing okay, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. Good afternoon to you. Hope you're well.
I'm okay.
You're well.
I'm solid.
Not feeling sick at all.
No. Feel fine.
That's good. It's good to hear.
So far, we are asymptomatic.
Good. Grand. Great.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
It's good, grand, wonderful, I think, ain't it?
Is it? Good. Grand. Wonderful. Good. Great.
Good, great, grand, wonderful, I think is how it goes.
Good, great, grand. Is it? Yeah, we're going to have to look it up here. Good, great.
Good, grand. Great, grand, wonderful. No yelling on the bus.
I think that's how it goes.
Good, great, grand, wonderful. Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
correct? Okay.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, you forgot the wonderful at the end. I feel like that's the big. I feel like that's maybe the most important part.
Well, the YouTube videos just say good, great, grand. One of them does.
Oh, really?
I think he says wonderful, though.
Okay. Good, great, grand. Yeah.
Half the audience has no idea what we're talking about.
No, they do. I feel like half our audience has seen Billy Madison.
Well, wouldn't that mean half haven't?
Well, no, I mean at least half. I should have said more than half.
I would hope that half of them have.
I would put the percentage at least 75%. I would say 3/4 of our audience.
You think 3/4 of everyone listening to this has seen Billy Madison?
Yes. If you haven't seen Billy Madison, please tweet me or call Cam. We won't put you on the air and shame you, and we don't take callers. But call Cam and let him know. Because I'm running a poll, and if no one calls or tweets in saying they haven't seen it, I am going to assume 100% of our audience has seen it.
Hello, my name is Steve, and I've never seen Billy Madison.
No, Steve has watched Billy Madison. Now, he thought it was a little silly.
Hi there, my name's Tiffany, and I've never seen Billy Madison.
Tiffany, you kind of sounded like Steve.
So far, nothing's rolling again, so we're betting 100% right now. Batting 100% on
are
this.
Are we just counting down from 100%?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if one person says they haven't seen Billy Madison, then we go like 96%. Well, I would just keep counting
down. That would imply that our audience only has, what, 20 people in it? 25 people in it?
Yeah. You never know. I don't know how many people are in it. Could be 100, could be 1,000. How many people are actively listening right now, you think?
10,000.
Between radio, streaming, app, web browser.
I guess there's no podcast plays in there. I still feel good about the 8 to 10,000.
You think there's 8 to 10,000 people listening to this right now?
Yeah, yeah.
That seems like
a huge
number.
That's what the ratings say. That's what the ratings say.
That's a massive number.
I think at any given time we are expected to have that audience.
I just got a lot of pressure on me.
Feeling pretty nervous?
Feeling really nervous now.
Yeah.
I never thought that there were that many.
Yeah. Hopefully you can overcome it.
What if I offend someone with something I say?
Nothing's happened yet. I mean, we've gotten some angry tweets.
I just offended all women named Tiffany.
You said all women named Tiffany sound
like
all
Steve. All I said is that you all sound like this.
I know a couple of Tiffany's. They don't sound like that, but I do know How one Tiffany. I do know one Tiffany that sounds like that.
No, there you go. How do Tiffany sound?
Just depends on who they are as women. I'm not going to give them a normal voice.
Hi, I'm Tiffany.
Kind of like that.
Some of them.
Name's Tiff.
What's up, Big Tiff?
Big Tiff.
So anyway, hope you're all right today.
Solid Monday?
It was a Monday, you know.
I like Mondays.
Yeah, I know. I don't.
I'm trying to think what I did yesterday. Did I do anything? Did I watch anything? Anything special? Rained a lot.
I just thought of what I did.
Was it good?
Do you want to go first?
I don't really have anything. I just watched TV.
I watched more baseball, more old baseball games.
Oh, yeah?
I watched the 2011 Cardinals-Rangers Game 6.
Okay. That was a fun game. I remember being at the Tin Roof on the Strip.
Yep.
R.I.P. Tin Roof on the Strip.
R.I.P.
On a random, like, Tuesday or Wednesday night, and I had a great time.
Sunday,
I bet on the Cardinals that game, so I was happy with the comeback. Not going to lie, they had us in the first half, but the Cardinals came back, and that was a fun game. And yeah. I remember watching Game 7, I believe, at a concert in Atlanta.
You watched the game at a concert?
Yeah.
How do
yeah.
you pull that off?
Was it we Kanye? We had a suite. Yeah, we had a suite.
It was Kanye?
It was Kanye, I believe. Oh, nice. I believe it was Kanye and Jay-Z. I believe it was the Watch the Throne
Give me
tour.
One on the music quiz Friday, Cam.
I believe it was the Kanye, Jay-Z, Watch the Throne tour is what I believe I was on.
Incredible tour.
It was like the first or second show, though, so Jay-Z is a little rusty. And like they still had some audio issues to work out, but I remember we had it on in the Mayfield suite. Shout out to Mayfield's. Being from Athens, I told you, I got to use that suite.
Yeah, I had a big ice cream guy.
My friend's dad was like the guy who was giving out tickets, so usually if they didn't want them, we got to, he would take us down there. So got to go watch that. That was cool.
Yeah, that does seem like a good time.
So you watched the old baseball, which?
Yeah, the last 2 days I watched the 04 Red Sox Sunday, and yesterday I watched David Freese with the double that tied it. And then the
it was a Lance Berkman single that won it. Is that or was
no? David Freese won it too. Okay. Home run, just knocked it center field, just knocked it out of the park.
Okay, and extras, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. So in the 10th, the Rangers had a chance to win it again.
They got up like two runs again, right?
And Berkman was the one that saved the cards there.
So Berkman was the one that saved that one, and then Freese won in the 11th.
And then in the 11th, yeah, game tied, bottom of the 11th, Freese
lead off batter, right? I believe he was the first batter of the inning. I think, right?
Yeah, just came in. Just drilled it.
Yeah.
And he's a hometown kid, too. David Freese from St. Louis.
Yeah. Pretty cool moment.
Pretty cool. Pretty
so you're
big
hitting
moment.
The classics. You had watched that one, though, right? Because you're a Cardinals fan. You'd watched that
well,
one.
Well, I'm not,
you'd
I'm
missed
not
04,
a Cardinals
maybe.
Fan.
Well, you were at the time.
Yeah. My friends were Cardinals fans. But, yeah, the MLB Network's got some good stuff on right now. They're just showing classic games.
Not a lot of optimism coming out of Major League Baseball right now. You had, I want to say, your first big name. You know the name Ryan Zimmerman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cam, you ever heard of Ryan Zimmerman? You know Ryan Zimmerman? So, I mean, that's a pretty big name. He is the first pretty big name to say, I'm not playing in this season. I'm not playing. You had Mike Leake yesterday, a pitcher. I mean, I know him because he used to be a Reds guy, but he's not really big on the radar anymore. Ian Desmond was hot for a little bit. He also said he's sitting out. He had a pretty scathing reason too. Like he wrote a whole thing. It was just like basically like I'm not supporting the sport right now who has homophobic and racial jokes in the clubhouse, who have been locked in a labor dispute, who don't really care about the players, blah blah blah, and went on to say I'm gonna stay at home and take care of my family and run my little league season and help my kids and help the community. He says I'm not going out and risking myself for a sport that is he called it corrupt, basically. Talked about the cheating in it, too, from the Astros and Red Sox and Yankees. And he didn't mention those teams by name, but just talked about cheating. And was like, I'm not playing. I'm good. Ian Desmond, do you know that name?
Yeah.
You do know that name? Okay. So, I mean, sure. I wouldn't call him a big name, but he's someone
I don't really know that name.
Okay. I was going to say he's someone who has been relevant.
I know he's an outfielder for the Rockies.
Okay. He used to be, I believe, a second baseman or shortstop for the Nationals for a while. So, I guess he's in the outfield now with the Rockies. But he's sitting out, and you had some quotes from ESPN's Buster Olney that raised my eyebrows, what little eyebrows I have. He had said he gives it only a 5% chance that the season is played as currently planned.
Well, I thought they had it all worked out.
I think he's just saying now with the Rona.
Oh, my God.
That more players are becoming resistant to it, and that he says he's not the authority, obviously, but he is baseball's one of their more highly publicized writers.
Yeah, here we go again with the Rona.
And he said 5% the season is played as planned. I mean, I think the as planned is an important caveat there in terms of starting on What was the date they came out with yesterday? I believe it was the 25th, I think, was the first day. The Nationals-Yankees was supposed to get the season started. Did you see that news?
July 25th?
Yeah, I want to say that was the opening day, with the full opening day being the 27th. I think they were letting some teams get an early start.
So are we thinking that may get pushed back now?
July 23rd, I guess, is actually the day. They're letting them get started on the 23rd, according to some reports. You'll get Garrett Cole versus Max Scherzer if it happens. And, you know, that's two of your big aces pitching. Yankees, Nationals could be a World Series preview, or at least the team that won the World Series last year starting off defending against the World Series favorite this year. And Buster Olney says 5% chance this all goes off as planned. Now, you know, you can still get your 60 games in. You can still do something, but he's saying there's going to be disruptions. Because now you're starting to look, and you see it in the NBA, man. That there's a lot of news coming through on the NBA, too. You had two more Brooklyn Nets test positive. DeAndre Jordan, Spencer Dinwiddie. DeAndre Jordan went ahead and said, hey, I'm not going back. I'm good. I'm not going back to the bubble. Spencer Dinwiddie says he'll let us know. He is undecided. He wants to wear his jersey. We haven't talked about it. They're going to let players wear phrases on their jerseys. Did you see that news?
Like they're going to be able to make statements?
Yes.
Politically?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. And Spencer Dinwiddie was going to be a trillion because his jersey number is 26, and he says the United States is $26 trillion in debt, and that's a big part of our problem. So he was going to go financially rock the $26 trillion.
Why are we doing this?
They're letting the players feel like they're making a statement. You know, if they want to put Black Lives Matter on the back, if they want to put Justice for George or – you know, anything they want to put on their jerseys, they're allowing them. I don't know if they'll let John Morant do what was photoshopped on his, though. He had to come out and kind of issue an apology. Did you see his mix-up? John Morant wears the jersey number 12. And, you know, that's a common slang for the police. And
12 is?
Yeah.
I thought it was like 5-0.
That too, but the 12.
Yeah. Never heard that one.
I mean, right, because I mean, I think it stems from there's 12 people usually on a jury. Is that right? I think that's kind of where that started. So, like, you know, if you get arrested, you go to court, you get judged by 12. So, like, I think that's just kind of where – is that where that origin from?
No, apparently it comes from the police radio code 1012, which means that visitors are present in an area where police are going. Because, like
– okay. So the police are headed to an area and there's 12?
Yeah, yes. Okay. And, like, I've always known that as, like, if you see police coming, you say 12 to let people know to get out of there.
I thought you gave the bird call. I thought you... Woohoo! isn't that what Outkast said? Or was it Goody Mob that said that?
You can do that, too. But, like, yeah, if you're talking the about 12...
Baby and Birdman, maybe that's just if you're out there dealing drugs. I don't know.
Yeah, but, no, yeah, 12 is like, oh, crap, the police are coming. Okay. We need to get out of here.
My friends always just said it in Spanish, like Ben Stiller from Anchorman. Policia!
That's Fair enough.
Yeah, so they weren't Spanish-speaking, typically.
Well, 12 is a slang for the police, and people had photoshopped the F-word on his jersey, and he was like, for real, though, eyeball emoji. He was acting like he wanted to do it, and then he had to issue an apology.
Yeah.
So they're not going to put like anything they want on their jersey. But Spencer Dinwiddie was going
They're going to allow the freedom of expression, but not completely.
No vulgarity, I guess. You got to be FCC approved.
No profanities.
But maybe not even FCC approved. You might have to not be hateful and divisive, they might say.
What if a player wants to support the president? Will they be allowed to do that?
You know, that was another popular joke. Gordon Hayward rocking the All Lives Matter jersey for the Celtics. That would be a hot seller.
Are they going to represent both sides? I mean, are they going to be able to go?
You would think they would, but I just don't think it would go over well in the league. Like, I mean, if you were brave enough to do it, I would imagine they would have to let you, but you would probably be ostracized from your team.
Yeah, your locker room would not like that.
Unless it was Kawhi Leonard, maybe he could get away with it.
Yeah.
Are we just going to have guys out here that just have on like Biden jerseys?
Like Biden 2020? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what.
This seems really weird.
Maybe they'll only give them a certain list of approved things. I don't know what the rules are, but you had Spencer Dinwiddie and DeAndre Jordan test positive, so the Nets are down two more players. And then right before we came on the air, the Denver Nuggets had positive tests for the Rona with the group that was getting set to travel to Orlando. So now they're having to close the team facility for a couple days and figure it out and do some testing and see who is good to go. So I say all that to say that as we get closer to sports, you realize, hey, we're 3-4 weeks away. I mean, we're 24 days away from baseball, 28, 29 days away from basketball being official. I mean, they're a week or two away from going to training camp and summer camp and going down to Orlando. It's starting to get real at a time when the numbers are starting to get muddled again. So just something to keep an eye on. Cam, you got something to say?
I think we'll find out a lot, too, because MLS is going to kick off right before these other sports.
Okay.
I think they start the 17th or somewhere in there. So we'll kind of see how this stuff plays out, especially, you know, in comparison with the NBA, since they'll also be in Orlando in kind of like a bubble-type environment. So we'll see if they have any hitches in their, like, first week, and that should probably tell us a lot, you would think.
We'll keep an eye on this. I'm sure we'll have some more Rona news. We got the Ivy League in football trying to come up with some interesting ideas. They're trying to come up with alternatives as we continue our march towards hopefully having sports back, at least the big sports. No offense to golf, UFC, and NASCAR, but the big sports. We'll continue diving into that next. We'll talk about the Ivy League's plan. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Volunteer State.
Have you seen what the Ivy League is kicking around right now as they get ready to try to gear up for football?
The Ivy League?
The Ivy League.
I've not seen anything with the Ivy League.
The Ivy League is preparing two options for football. Play only the 7 conference games in the fall, or cancel fall football and play the season in the spring. Seems as if they are not very optimistic that they're going to be able to play a full schedule. Do they usually play a full schedule? Like, what does Harvard usually play football-wise? How many teams are they, like, are they playing just a bunch of D2, D3 teams to get ready for the Ivy League season, or what?
Probably so. They probably play 10 or 12 games.
They do? Okay.
I mean, I would imagine they play,
it's just a FCS schedule, which I think is really similar to, like, you know, Division I, just...
Looks like they play... Holy Cross isn't Ivy League, right? Holy Cross.
No.
Yeah. Holy Cross. They play Holy Cross, Georgetown.
Cornell.
They go to Lafayette. And I think that's it other than Ivy League teams. So you're right. They play 10 games. Yeah. So they're looking at canceling the Georgetown game, canceling the Holy Cross game, and canceling the trip to Lafayette and just playing the 7 conference games or trying to get it squeezed in the spring. But to me, unless you get those other teams on board, you would then just be playing a conference schedule in the spring, right? Or maybe you grab a couple other games if other teams, other small conferences across the country move back to the spring as well. Maybe you get a full season in that way. Are we back to that?
I mean, it kind of seems that way.
Cam, are we back to that?
It's unfortunate.
Just looking and thinking about, like, contingency plans and realizing that the idea of a full season is maybe up in the air right now. Like, forget fans, because that seems a lot less likely than it did a month ago. And it didn't seem that likely a month ago. Are we at the point now where if we play 12 games, it's a shock or a surprise at least?
I'd say pleasant surprise. Like, I wouldn't say it would shock me at all, but it would be... It'd be nice to have, but yeah, the way it's trending, it's like the spring stuff. I think you have to keep that in the back of your mind just in case, because we don't know how this is going to end up playing out. Like, if something pops off and there's a huge uptick in cases on the team or something, and you have to cancel like a season midway, like that would, you know, we'd have to have a whole new game plan then. So I think they're just trying to cover all the angles and, you know, just have a plan in case something happens. Because I mean, if you're not prepared, this could really mess up.
Well, sure. But, I mean, coming out openly talking about those plans makes it seem like there's not a lot of optimism surrounding this as we are getting set for that, because, you know, that was the conversation in March and early April, right? We'd come in here and we'd say, would you rather play a conference schedule only or move to the spring and have the full schedule? And then we're like, oh, that's not the concern anymore. Full season in the fall, let's ride. Can we get fans? Can we get 100% of fans? We'll settle for 50% if we have to. And now we're back at the point where everything just seems like it's in a real holding pattern. I mean, because, again, we kind of mentioned it yesterday, but all of the reports were we need an answer by the middle of June. And here we are, the last day of June. And we still have a lot more questions than we have answers at this point. Wouldn't you agree, Cody?
I would say so. And it just seems to change every day, as it has the whole time. It changes every day.
Where are you at right now?
In terms of what?
Just in terms of, I mean, do you feel like we're at the point where we're starting to look and say, hey, conference schedule only might be an option? Spring season, are we back opening that door? Because it seems, I mean, for the Ivy League, that's different, right? The Ivy League has less stakes when it comes to football. Like, their non-conference games have significantly less stakes. Like, Harvard versus Holy Cross ain't moving a needle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know how much Lafayette is paying them to come down and play that road game. I wouldn't imagine it's much.
Lafayette. I think that it's something that we got to consider as something that could definitely happen, because I think you'll see more alignment in the conferences. You know what I mean? I think that the SEC will be more likely to play by their rules. But, you know, you got to think about those out-of-conference games, like does Alabama-USC end up happening? Because I think it's a lot more likely that USC doesn't play football than Alabama doesn't.
Sure.
So when you think about it in those terms, you got different conferences. Do all SEC teams end up just playing like a couple of Sun Belt teams each maybe? Like maybe the Sun Belt team, maybe they work something out with the SEC? Like, maybe you see that, like conferences that'll work together.
How do we still feel like California's less likely to play? I mean, just because of...
I mean, they're shutting beaches down again.
Yeah, I mean, but so is...
For July 4th.
So is Florida and Texas, and both of those schools, or both of those states have schools in the SEC.
I feel like California's way more likely to not play.
Sure, I mean, you look at the politics there, and...
Yeah.
The liberal agenda or whatever, like, they're more liberal, so they might be...
Yeah.
More willing to say, hey, football is not as important as lives, whereas in the South, Republican and freedom, and you'll say, hey, let's go out here and play.
Let's play ball.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying they've already said, like, I mean, the schools in California are not even going to be having classes, some of those schools.
Really?
The Cal State schools. You remember that? We had it in the news.
That was a while ago, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that's still a thing. Like, a lot of state universities are just not going to – I mean, they're not having classes at all
or just, like, online?
Or maybe online.
Okay.
But, you know, they're not going to have students on campus.
Well, I mean, Tennessee is still playing full speed, which I know some players – or I know some students that I talk to, which sounds a little weird, a 30-year-old man talking to students, but the internet's a weird thing. They are concerned that UT is just going to get them all on campus – simply to get full money from them and then say, okay, we're going online only.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying all along.
Yeah, but I'm just saying the students feel that way too.
They should.
That's going to have to pay full price, get them on campus, and then say, okay, guys, we have to do online only.
Yeah, it's a big money grab. I mean, that's exactly what they should be thinking, because that's what they're going to do.
Oh, absolutely. I've been telling everybody I can, like, hey, go do an online community college if you're going to do anything this fall, because I wouldn't trust it, all.
But the thing is, if you're...
the dorm money, all that kind of stuff. Like, once they get you on, even if they kick you off dorm, like you saw at the end of the semester, they still made they didn't give people money back for kicking them off campus.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to get that money.
They didn't refund anybody anything?
Yeah, not from what I saw.
Okay.
Maybe something changed, but yeah, from what I saw, they were really like trying to hold firm on that. So yeah, I would be very worried that they're going to try and take advantage of this situation a little bit.
The thing is, if you're already like in your major, though, you know,
you can't really go to the community college right at that point.
You're kind of screwed. Mm-hmm. You're kind of screwed if you're not just still taking the gen ed classes. So that's tough.
Foster writes in, what exactly would the point in having a conference-only schedule be? And, I mean, it would just be to crown a conference champion. And, I mean, those are the games Tennessee fans care the most about, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, even if it came down to it, I mean, Oklahoma versus South Carolina, you're going to care about Oklahoma on a national standpoint, but, like,
if Tennessee was in the SEC race, like they're going to care more about the South Carolina game. You know what I mean? Just for standings purposes.
Yeah, I mean,
those games have more at stake.
That's more important than, you know, in terms of your record and all that. So,
and then of course, you know, the Florida, Alabama, Georgia game, things like that. Like you care more about those. I mean, when we put up those polls of which game you'd rather win, Oklahoma came in fourth. So
it was should.
It would simply be to continue those games. And, you know, if you asked a good portion of Tennessee fans, if you would, you know, a lot of them probably only care about the SEC. You see that every time when it comes to bowl games and championships, right? SEC, 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 rooting for the SEC.
Do people still do that?
Not as much, but yeah, I mean.
People still have that conference pride thing?
I mean, yeah, people are rooting for LSU, and they could try to mask it off in hatred for Clemson, but it was still partly because of the SEC. And
well, I was rooting for LSU.
And LSU being a, quote-unquote, one of the good schools, I guess.
I was rooting for them.
Yeah.
But I think it was more so my hate for Dabo.
Right, but you liked Joe Burrow, too. You liked LSU. It wasn't. I mean, would you have rooted for Alabama over Clemson? Well, you did 2 years ago, so maybe that's a bad example. Yeah, I don't know. I guess you
really don't like Clemson, but I like I did like Joe Burrow. He was a fun guy to watch.
Yeah, but like I said, you rooted for Alabama too, so it's not really that different.
Would you have rooted for Georgia over Clemson?
No. That would have been. I was not rooting for Alabama either. That's one of those games I was just watching with an interest, you know. And whoever wins, it wins.
Yeah, sure.
That's how I watch every game, pretty much.
Sure. No reason to rehash all that. We have pictures, and we had a whole trial about it, and we know the truth. JD writes in saying this semester is going to give new meaning to the Big Orange Screw. And look, I'm not going to say that it's just going to be Tennessee. Like, it's going to be every major campus across the South, across the country, that needs to squeeze every dollar that they can. I don't know if you saw today, but Michigan, they had Juwan Howard and Jim Harbaugh agree to a 10% pay cut for the fall semester. Basically, they're having to give back some money just because we're trying to cut costs. So, you know, the Big Orange Screw is a thing.
Oh, yeah. They're whipping out that big orange hog right now as we speak.
But I'm sure every school has a similar saying and feels like the school is trying to take advantage of them at every turn, and it's going to happen across the entire country. And in this case, like, I'm not going to even say I blame them, because right now I'm sure they're sitting over there thinking, like, how do we survive? You know what I mean? Like, at this point, I don't even know if it's greed. I think it's just like we are really facing a financial crisis.
Are they?
I mean, I would imagine they are, right? I mean, you don't think Philip Fulmer and the chancellor and the president are sitting over there thinking, man, like, we are needing to squeeze every dollar from the students we can, because if we don't get football, we're screwed. And,
why,
like, at this point,
give some of their salary up, you know?
I mean, they probably will.
Give some of their salary. I just haven't seen Tennessee do that yet. I mean, you've seen it from a lot of places.
I haven't either, and I don't even know if when Michigan did it. Cam, see if you can find.
Why don't you take half of Rick Barnes' money? He'd still be making $2.5 million.
See if you can find any ADs taking pay cuts as well. Like, I've seen the coaches do it, but I haven't seen the ADs doing it. I'm not saying they haven't. It's just usually not the headline. It's usually the coaches are the headline.
If I'm Philip Fulmer, I'm giving up my salary.
All of it?
Giving up every bit of my salary.
Hell, he probably makes more as an AD than he did for most of his coaching career, though.
He's made so much money, though.
Well, I'm just saying, like, when you look at the way the salaries have gone up.
The way they've
inflated. He's probably making more as the AD than he did for almost all of his years coaching.
Yeah, I mean, because even 2008 doesn't seem like that long ago, but the money they made back then wasn't even close.
Wasn't
to
he like at $800,000? Wasn't it something like that? I feel like
for the end?
Yeah, like, I feel like it being a big deal, like, whenever it got to, like, $1 million. I feel like that was a big deal.
Yeah.
In the mid-2000s, like.
There's of, like, directors taking pay cuts.
Okay.
Like, if you Google it, you got stuff like Rutgers, Virginia, Colorado, Oregon State.
So it's happening. I assumed it would, because you can't, as a boss, like, ask your high-paid employees to take a pay cut and then you not be willing to do the same. Like, you kind of have to. You can't necessarily get away with that. But I'm just saying, like, you know, Tennessee makes $20 million, roughly, give or take, from ticket sales. And they make another $7, $8 million with donations built around those ticket sales, or at least $4 or $5 million based around those ticket sales. So, like, yeah, like, that's just dealing with the most likely scenario of football but no fans, or limited fans.
Well, it's not like they're hard up for money right now, you know? they got all their regular money in the spring.
Right now, and, sure. But
I mean, I guess they missed out on.
They didn't get the regular. They didn't get the. There were schools that would miss out on basketball money. I mean, from the tournament, the conference payout and stuff like that. So like, they're missing a little money.
Yeah, but I mean, they're doing fine right now. But that's,
again, yes, now. But if it moves forward into the
well,
fall,
I mean, Tennessee's planning. Are they not planning on having fans in the stands? I mean,
well, that's what Fulmer said last week. But I mean, do you not agree that things have drastically changed over the last week?
They seem to be changing, but I don't know that we're really. I mean, I feel like in the SEC we're kind of full steam ahead still. I think they're planning to play football.
Oh yes. I mean, I think if you know picking now, I'm still saying they're playing football, but I would not say that we'll have 100% of fans in the stands. I am back saying that's not going to happen.
I don't think that'll happen either. But
okay, well, I mean, that's going to affect the bottom line. That's going to affect millions of dollars.
What do you think? Enough is going to change in the next, I don't know, month or so that we're not going to. I don't know. I guess it just depends on what the virus does.
The deaths haven't spiked yet. And I think a lot of rational people say that's the most important thing. Although you have seen a growing sentiment from doctors and scientists who I've heard talking, saying that the idea of letting the virus just run through these players and it not being a big deal is ludicrous. One of them was asked, one epidemiologist was asked, and he said, go ahead and print this. If you think that way, quote, bleep you. Saying that it's reckless just to say it's okay to let this virus run through these players. And then Moore pointing out saying, look, we don't know for sure the side effects, but there have been cases where people have had reduced lung capacity coming out of this. And if you are an unpaid college student, if you're someone at Clemson, one of those 30 students with dreams of going to the NFL, if your lungs go from 100% of where they were at to 80%, that might be the difference between you being an elite athlete going to the NFL and you hoping the XFL fires back up. So I do think we're going to get to the labor unpaid portion of this as well and making those guys do different things than other regular students are going to have to do. I do think that's going to be back on the table. Maybe not, though. Maybe there's just going to be so much money that it doesn't matter and these guys are going to look at the opportunity of trying to play their way into the NFL or the NBA or whatever that they're going to be cool with it. I don't know, but I do think that I speak for a lot of people when I say that we have to be we're at least a little less optimistic about it, right?
I mean, you're less optimistic right now than you were a month ago, yeah.
Yeah, or even 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everyone, or most people, are probably in that boat.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're starting to – I mean, we knew this was going to happen, though. Like, you knew once players got back on campus, you were going to see positive tests.
Sure.
So, you know, sure. I mean, it's not like it's an unexpected thing that's going on.
Do we know it was going to be this bad, though? Clemson has 34, I mean, and LSU has 20, and
I mean,
Tennessee hasn't had any bad cases. But, I mean, I think we thought that, you know, think back to Alabama and Oklahoma State. Weren't they the first two schools to kind of do this where, you know, Alabama had like five? Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, that's not that bad. You can live with that. Like, I think we thought that would happen. But I don't think we're at the point where, you know,
it's 20 or 30.
Yeah, and schools are shutting back down and states are shutting back down. Like Arizona shut the state back down yesterday. So, like, the Arizona Wildcats are kind of in a holding pattern right now of, well, what do we send our athletes back to school? Because I think they've only had one positive test in their of the athletes they've tested. But they're still, like, having to wait to see if they can go back to campus.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they just need to decide whether they're going to play or not. I mean, because you're not going to be able to stop the positive tests. There's going to be more and more positive tests. You just got to decide, is it worth playing football or not? I don't know who decides that, but the powers that be need to just make that decision. Because it's going to happen all through the year. There's going to be positive tests all through the year. And it's going to probably be more rampant than it is right now, to be honest, once you get everybody back in one place.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going full-fledged with students on campus, that does seem like that's going to happen. And again, if you're in the boat of saying, hey, it doesn't matter, let it run through them, they'll be fine, they're young, like, you probably aren't deterred by that at all.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm kind of starting to lean that way myself. I mean, the thing is, they've gone out and gotten it, you know? Just like I probably went out and got it.
Quit saying that.
I'm just saying. It's been around for so long now. It's been around for so long now. I mean, a lot of people are going to be exposed to it. Lots and lots of people.
That doesn't, to me, make it more optimistic that we'll have fans and that we'll play, though. Just saying it's going to be around and just keep going back and forth instead of killing it. Like, that doesn't make me feel better. Like, I understand your mindset of saying, like, it's out there, you're going to get it. But that doesn't make me feel better about schools just saying, okay, well, let's go out here and let's do this. Well, when you think about, like,
Knoxville. You got to consider where the schools are and what they're.
Well, I agree with that, but do you not think the University of Tennessee has a responsibility to Knoxville?
To the rest of the city?
Yeah. Like, as
to what? I mean, not expose the old people?
Yeah, and to be careful with this. I mean, do you not think? I mean, because, I mean, they do have a responsibility of making money. Like, we all acknowledge that. Like, there are a lot of businesses that are like, oh, we needed football to be here, and we need people to play.
Yeah, I mean, they got that responsibility to the local restaurants and hotels and business and everything.
Everything, yeah.
You know, so. That's the thing, you know. Do you side with the making sure your local economy doesn't collapse, or do you decide to protect a few people from dying?
I hate that we're having to have this discussion again.
Yeah, well, it's tough, but here we are. I mean, you just got to, I don't know. I think I'm at the point where, like, if you're willing to, you've got the information now. Everybody's got the information. And if you're scared to go out, I say you stay home, you know? And if you're not, you let healthy people continue to live.
Okay, but what about the players who maybe don't want to play but feel pressured to play?
Well,
is that not a part of the dynamic? I mean, because I get the idea of, like, hey, they want to go out to the
play, you know?
I get the idea of, like, hey, some of these guys want to go out to the club. Some of these guys want to go out and be college kids and drink and party. But, like, if you think back, you know, if you're thinking outside that locker room, like, if half the team probably doesn't feel comfortable playing, or 25% of the team doesn't feel comfortable playing, like, are they supposed to just quit and then look like quitters and sit out?
Because in
the pros, that's worked, but
I guess they got to make that decision.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an easy decision, but I guess they just got to make it.
So what happens if, like, 40% of Tennessee players are like, hey, we don't want to play?
Yeah, well, I guess
they can't run in with a 60% of a roster.
Yeah, well, then I guess we'll either be taking some walk-ons or we'll forfeit some games. I don't think that'll happen, though. I don't think you're going to have 40% of a team say they're not playing.
I don't either. But I don't know if – what do you think the percentage of the locker room is right now that feels comfortable playing?
I'd say the majority of it.
Sure, but, I mean, 51% is the majority.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know.
I do wonder, like, what – that mindset is right now for these athletes. Because we've seen it in the NBA. I mean, we've seen it in the NBA where you've had a lot of people saying, hey, we don't really feel comfortable about this. Some saying, hey, they're still going to go do it, but some saying, hey, we are not doing it. And others saying...
I mean, you could say the same thing about business owners. Like, maybe they don't really feel comfortable opening, but they got to make money, so they're going to open. You know, I mean...
Sure.
Everybody's just got to make their own decisions.
Well, sure,
this.
But the owners are making one decision, but then they're forcing the workers who maybe don't want to, who don't feel comfortable going back, make a decision of getting kicked off unemployment or going back to work.
It's a tough decision. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying it's easy, but if it comes down to it and those workers think that, you know, they're scared of getting the virus, then they can quit. I mean, they don't have to go back. Now, I know that's a rough decision to have to make, you know, and it might put them in a bad spot financially, but a lot of people are facing tough decisions these days.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of just where we're at, I think.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Move your business.
Back on the program. Well, that wasn't very fun. I don't enjoy that conversation. But I do think it is a reality we're facing right now. It's not fun. I don't enjoy it. I really want sports to be back. When did you say MLS is supposed to kick off, Cameron?
It's actually supposed to kick off on the 8th.
Okay.
The 8th of July. I'm not sure if I'll have to double check to see if that was just... them being down there or them actually starting a game? Because I thought originally the date was the 17th.
Well, I knew they were supposed to be the first back. I didn't know they were supposed to be ahead of baseball and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say I thought it was the 8th, but I might just be making that up
well,
now.
No, that's what it's listed on like this article because they just had like 26 new positive tests, I think, come back.
Okay.
So I think that basically what they're just doing is kind of just like dropping the people that, you know, if it tests positive or...
I mean, that's what golf's been doing, right? I mean, golf has just been like, hey, you feel free to drop out if you don't want to play. Feel free to go home if you feel uncomfortable. And also, if you test positive or feel symptoms, you're going to have to go. And there was that one golfer this weekend. I don't know if you guys saw that story, but he tested positive, had to withdraw, and then said he went home and took two more tests, and they kept coming up negative.
That's crazy.
Was there only the one golfer that tested positive?
There was the only, I believe this weekend, there was only one golfer that tested positive. Now, you know, Brooks Koepka's caddy tested positive, so he withdrew because of the caddy. And I believe there was maybe one other guy who had to pull out because of his caddy. But I believe this weekend, there was only one golfer test positive. And then, like I said, he went home and says he has tested twice, and those tests have returned as negative. So he's, I don't know if he's mad that he had to withdraw, like, and like miss out on some money.
There were golfers that withdrew because of their caddy?
Yep, Brooks Koepka withdrew because of his caddy. Because, I mean, you're could around your caddy.
Could he not just carry his own clubs?
I mean, I wouldn't if I'm Brooks Koepka. I'm not doing that.
Just carry your own clubs.
I'm not doing that. And like I said, they're also a coach. Like, you need the caddy out there.
Nah.
You can't downplay the importance of the caddy. The caddy is important.
Club carrier. Just a club carrier.
But I feel like golf has done pretty good when it comes to this. Like, now it's easier, obviously. It's a team sport, right? And we haven't had this happen in any majors. Like, if this was the Masters and you had a big name test positive, that would feel like a much bigger story than Tim Watney, whatever the hell his name is, having to pull out from, you know, the Heritage Open or whatever. That's nothing. Brooks Koepka probably could enjoy the week off. That's fine. But if it was a Masters or a U.S. Open and that happened to one of those guys, it would feel a lot different.
He'd probably go ahead and play.
I don't think they're gonna. I don't think golf would allow him to do that. Like, you might convince me on the conspiracy theories, Cody, of like the NBA doing that. Like, hey, Giannis and LeBron test positive. We're not letting that get out. Just go play. We'll deal with the fallouts later. Like, if those guys tested positive in like Game 6 of the NBA Finals, they might come to both teams and everyone be like, you know what? Let's just ride out and let's just try it. Let's just play, and you know, we might not ever hear about it. But golf, I mean, golf's different. Golf is allowed, you know, it's an individual sport. And, you know, unless it was Tiger Woods leading going into a Sunday of the Masters, I don't think they would pull the plug on that. But anyone else, they would just say, hey, you got to go because there's not really one golfer that moves the needle like that.
I'm just wondering, like, why, though? I wonder why they would make them. Like, can't they just play by themselves in golf?
Yeah.
I mean, it is the most spaced out sport, right?
Yeah, no, they can. I mean, you could theoretically never come in contact with another player within 6 feet. Like, I mean,
could
you
they
can...
not just make Brooks Koepka wear a mask while he's playing?
Yeah, I guess they probably could have given him that option, but I think
keep people 6 feet away from him.
Well, I mean, I think when you're in control of these sports, and I think the issue here would be like you have to take care of everyone. Like, you kind of – this is what I feel like UT and these college campuses might have to deal with is, like, you are supposed to be the caretaker of sorts. Like, you are supposed to be the governing body. And, you know, think of it like the team – you have team doctors on the field to keep players from going back in with concussions. Like, surely you don't think that players should be allowed to go in with concussions, right? In football? Like, do you feel like
– Are you asking me?
Yeah, I mean, if a guy has a concussion, like, you don't think the team doctors need to be there to be like, hey, you don't need to go in. Like, we're protecting you from yourself. Like, do you subscribe to that theory? Because you see it in the UFC.
Unless he feels like he can play.
I mean, 9 times out of 10, that guy's going to say, I'm a warrior. I want to play. Like, there are – you know, every now and then you'll have the UFC fighter, like, 2 weekends ago, is like, hey, I'm done. I quit. Throw in the towel. I quit. But usually you'll have the guys that say, hey, if you throw in the towel, I'm going to fire you. You had Deontay Wilder, his corner, throw in the towel because he didn't have it. And he was talking about firing them and how he's a warrior and wants to die on the field. Like, I want to die in the ring. I am a warrior. Let me go out on my sword.
I think you should let him die.
And I don't think you should do that. I think you should have team doctors that protect you from stuff like that. Like, I don't think if you have a concussion in football, you should be allowed to go back. I think you do have to have a party that looks out for the best interests of the athlete, because usually the athlete is going to want to go. Usually.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. They've really ruined the game with this protecting the player stuff.
Except in the Super Bowl. They kind of let it slide in the Super Bowl.
Well, that's the ultimate warrior competition.
You get dinged up in the Super Bowl, they might let it slide.
That's for all the marbles.
Yeah. I still remember Julian Edelman against the Seahawks. 100% had a concussion. They killed that guy, and he just kept playing and kept balling. They didn't send him into the tent for any checkups. Like, you know what? Let's just let it go. Last game of the year. Can't hold anything back. That was a second Adam Sandler reference. You didn't acknowledge that.
What, the water boy?
Yeah.
I was never a big water boy guy.
No? Figured you would be as a football fan.
Nah, I think that's what kept me away from it. Because it's just
kept me away from the blind side.
It's not very realistic.
That's what's kept me away from the blind side. I feel you.
Yeah, the blind side really wasn't very good either.
Never bothered watching it.
You never watched it at all?
Never watched a second of it. I mean, outside of like the clips you'll see like on like movies.
It's pretty
commercials and stuff.
It's pretty cheesy.
Yeah.
It's pretty I mean, it was all right, I guess, for its what it was, but wasn't anything special.
Never watched it. So I appreciate you not watching and not liking The Waterboy, because it's not real football.
I mean, I think all sports movies are pretty dumb.
I was having that conversation yesterday. I disagree. I think boxing movies, fighting movies are great. It's hard to make a bad boxing movie.
What about other sports?
Other sports, definitely hit or miss. I think baseball probably has the next set of best movies. Like, I think baseball lends itself to being a good sports.
As far as realistic, a good genre. Trying to make you feel real, they're realistic movies?
Yeah. I think baseball
Space
can
Jam
do a good
did
job with
pretty
that.
Good.
I don't think
I Space
Jam did a
Jam
good job.
Space Jam was pretty realistic.
No.
It was pretty realistic.
I mean, basketball, I do feel like we should have more good basketball movies than we have.
How many are there besides Space Jam? Just like Air Bud.
White Man Can't Jump, I think, is good. I mean, Love and Basketball, some people like. I mean, it's more of a rom-com. You got what? What's the movie with Coach Carter? You got that one. You got, what is it, Glory Road? Is that the one about taking down racist Adolph Ruff? Is that what that one was?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Hoosiers, of course. You got Hoosiers. I know some people are probably screaming at the radio, Hoosiers, Hoosiers. My problem with Hoosiers is always like they spend the whole game, the whole movie they spend teaching you about the beauty of team basketball, right? Like, hey, you pass the ball. You got to pass it five times. Everyone has to touch it before you shoot. But you saw what happened when the championship was on the line, right? That guy was like, hey, give me the ball, coach. I want the shot. And the coach was like, okay, fine. Go out there and hero ball us a win. That all of the team dynamics went right out the window when the game was on the line. When the championship was on the line, Gene Hackman all of a sudden didn't believe in his team basketball mentality. It was give it to, was it Jimmy Chitwood? I think that was his name.
They knew what had to be done.
I think his last name in real life is Plume. I drank at his bar, actually. The guy who hit that last shot in the actual real life game.
You drank at his bar.
I drank at his bar in Indianapolis. It was a little dive bar. You would have loved it.
I do love dive
we
bars.
We just happened to stumble in there soberly on an afternoon.
And then you stumbled out of there not so soberly.
And just happened to go in there, and they're sitting there, and they're like, you want to meet him? I'm like, meet who? I'm like, Jimmy, the guy who hit the shot. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, this is his bar. And he's just sitting there and signed our coasters. I used to have the coaster, but I don't think I have it anymore.
I'm Jimmy.
And he just sat there and talked about it, and just that was he didn't have that voice. He was an old man.
Hey, I'm Jimmy.
Wasn't the mafia.
He wasn't Italian?
No, wasn't the mafia. I
imagined him as being Italian.
I don't.
Is he just a white guy?
His last name was Plume, so I don't feel like he was.
Just a white guy?
Seemed white to me.
Hey, guys, I'm Jimmy.
A little bit older.
Hey, guys, I'm Jimmy.
Your impressions are really falling apart here. Yeah. He can still get around.
Hey, guys, I'm Jimmy. Oh, there you go. That was it, wasn't it? I feel like that one was spot on.
I should have ran that theory by him.
Hey, guys, I'm Jimmy.
I should have ran my problem with the movie around him. I didn't get into the specifics of my problems with Hoosier.
Give me your wet, soggy coaster, and I'll sign it for you.
He did. He did.
Yeah.
I was like, we got a picture. I was like, yeah, I guess we'll get a picture.
Signature's going to fade away because this coaster is made out of cardboard, and it's wet, but that's all right.
It was a little bit nicer of a coaster than that, but you're all right. I had it for a while just sitting in my kitchen for some reason, but I guess I got to tell a story on the radio, so it was worth it.
Yeah. You never got to tell it before, huh?
I feel like I might have talked about it before.
Not on the radio.
Not on the radio, yeah. All right. Hour one of the books. Hour two on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines.
Your pet.